Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
The process of growth in the Christian life is an organic process. It's to be produced by the Holy Spirit. If you're longing for fruit flowing from your life, join us next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, as we discover that fruit grows where the stream flows. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. It's a joy to come to you every Monday through Friday, and wherever this program or podcast finds you, we sure hope that you have come with an open heart, that you're ready to examine the Word of God with us and grow in His grace. Today, we're going to listen to a series entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. We're going to study the wonderful fruit of the Spirit, the process of growth in the Christian life that's organic. It comes from within. It comes from a process of yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, if you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to produce this fruit within you. If you haven't trusted Christ, then friend, we hope that because of today's program, you'll come to faith in Him and allow His Holy Spirit to begin that work in you. Don't forget, we would love to have you visit with us online and find out more about our ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find out about this current series. You can subscribe to the podcast for Daily in the Word and take this program with you and listen to it at your convenience on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to the daily devotional email, Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box will come a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, along with an Old Testament, a New Testament, and a Proverbs scripture reading that will take you through the Word of God in 1 year. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. But right now we're opening our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, as we introduce this series with this message, Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. Here's Paul Chapel.
The Apostle Paul was the first missionary of the Christian church. He was sent out by the church at Antioch, and he began to go to various different cities, preaching the gospel, winning people to Christ, and establishing churches. One of the first regions he went to was the region of Galatia. That region is found in modern-day Turkey. And in Galatia, he began to go from city to city, reaching people with the gospel. One of the cities there in Galatia was a city by the name of Lystra. And many of you may recall that in Lystra, his message was not well received by the majority of people. And so he was thrown out of the city, where he was stoned and left for dead. What a terrible time that must have been. I really believe the average preacher, the average Baptist would have said, if this is the ministry, I'm out of here. And that would have been the end of it. But not the Apostle Paul. In fact, he didn't get better. He was a man that got bitter, but he was a man that got better during those times. He was a man that allowed the trials to bring him along further and further in his Christian life. When I think about the Apostle Paul, I think about a man who was ever faithful, going on with joy through the trials of this life. And I believe it was because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it was because he was yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. You know, this morning, folks, other people don't create your spirit. They only reveal your spirit. Other people don't create your spirit. They only reveal your spirit. Much like the contents of a tea bag are not really known until hot water is applied, so it is in your life and mine. The contents of your heart will not be known until some difficult circumstances come. And if your spirit is revealed as an argumentative, complaining type of a spirit, or a depressed type of a spirit, then those circumstances brought about what was in you all of the time. And Paul had nothing but challenging circumstance after difficult circumstance, and yet he responded with faithfulness, joy, love, and he responded out of the power of God in his heart. Now, this is why Jesus admonishes us to abide in him and with him. The Bible says in John 15, in your notes in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now notice in verse 2, that it may bring forth more fruit. Notice in the second part of the verse 2, in every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. How many of you get the idea from John 15 that Jesus wants us to bear fruit? He wants our lives to be different because we're abiding with him. In fact, what a tragedy when someone claims to be a Christian, but their life is no different from someone who is not claiming to be a Christian. It is God's will that we would bear much fruit. Now, I enjoy fruit trees myself. In fact, I love fruit. In fact, this almost sounds like heresy, but I'd rather have a good piece of fruit, an orange, a plum, an apricot, than even a Snicker candy bar. And Snicker candy bars are way up there, but I love fruit. And I love to go out in my backyard and see the fruit trees when they're bringing forth fruit. This past year, we had an apricot tree that was not bearing fruit at all. In fact, this tree not only didn't have fruit, it wasn't having leaves. It was really having a problem. And so I went back to investigate what's the problem with this apricot tree. All the other trees were doing well. And I looked at the base of the tree, and at the base of that tree, there's all these mounds of dirt. Next to the mounds of dirt, there were all these holes in the ground. And as I began to investigate, there were ground squirrels that had made their home around the root system of that tree. And because of that, the tree was not getting proper water or nutrients. And because of that, it was very, very sickly. And you know, as I consider that tree, the first thing that I observed was that the tree had a fruit problem. It wasn't bearing fruit. But as I investigated, the reason for the fruit problem was that there was a root problem. And so it is in the Christian life. When we are not seeing fruit in someone's life, when you're not seeing fruitfulness like Jesus mentions in John 15, it very well may be that there's something going wrong at the roots. That's why Colossians chapter 2 says we are to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. For it is only through Christ's power and through his Spirit that we can really bear fruit in our lives today. And so this morning we're going to prepare the soil for a brand new series on the fruit of the Spirit. This message today is to sort of introduce and remind us of the person of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit who wants to bring forth fruit from your life and from mine. Now let's begin this morning by looking at the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. The gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm not speaking about spiritual gifts like teaching or giving or serving. I'm not speaking about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm speaking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean by this that the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is a gift to everyone who receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. Think about this for a moment. The Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit of God took up residence in your life. You became a new creature. Old things were passed away. All things are becoming new. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came into your life. Romans 5:5 says it this way, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the love of God, that fruit of the Spirit, is given to us, is produced in us by the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is not something we can teach. It is not something we can manufacture. It is not something we can imitate. It is something only produced by the Spirit of God within us. And so God's Holy Spirit is a gift to every child of God. Now, how does that take place? How do we know that the Holy Spirit is for us as Christians? How do we know the Holy Spirit is not just for a few select Christians? Well, let's get a little bit of the review on this subject. First of all, the Holy Spirit is promised by Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God was promised to come to the believers by Jesus himself. Now, many, many verses tell us this, but in John 14, 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So Jesus gathered his disciples around him prior to his death, burial, and resurrection. And he said, "I want you to know that the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, he will come unto you." Jesus said, "It is expedient for you that I would go away, because when I go away, the Holy Spirit will come and he will be with you." And on the day of Pentecost, we know that the Holy Spirit of God came down on that early church at Jerusalem and that he filled those believers, and that on that day, there were 3,000 people who received Christ as their Savior. They received the Spirit of God in their life. They were baptized to identify with Christ publicly. Even as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come. So he did come on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. But not only did Jesus promise that he would come, but I want you to notice, secondly, the Holy Spirit is received at salvation. You see, you and I were not present on the day of Pentecost, and yet for those of us now after that time who have made a decision to receive Jesus as our Savior, we have been born again by the Spirit of God. You see, the Word of God is preached, and the Word of God then is applied to our heart in conviction by the Holy Spirit's ministry, and we are born again, or regened, as we might say, or regenerated by the inner working of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that will witness within your spirit, telling you that you need Christ as your Savior. You need Jesus today. Now, John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, when someone is born physically, they are born of water. The water is broken. The baby is born. They're born of the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But when someone is born again, they receive Christ as their Savior, and they are born spiritually at that very moment. And so the Holy Spirit's work is to bring us into the family of God, and only the Spirit of God can do that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says it this way, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now, think of that. If any man doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you cannot receive Christ as your Savior without having the Holy Spirit of God come in, and you cannot claim to have the Spirit of God in your life and simultaneously claim to have never received Christ as Savior. It is a simultaneous action when someone receives Christ as their Savior. Now then, I'm speaking to you of the gift of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is a gift to you upon receiving Christ as Savior. Just as I stood at an altar and received on that day, at our wedding day, and on that day when Terry and I were married, I received the gift of a wonderful bride. So it is. On that day when you were saved, you received the gift of the Spirit of God into your life at that very moment. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's turn over there just a few verses, a few books back rather, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want you to see how personal this gift really is. This gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. The Apostle Paul writes, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So the Bible says that your body as a Christian is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What are we trying to accomplish this year, Pastor? Why all the preaching about the Holy Spirit? Why the emphasis on the fruit of the Spirit? To wake us up to the fact that for those of us who are saved, the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, lives in your heart and in your life today, and He wants you to walk with Him and listen to Him, and He wants to empower you, and He wants to produce righteous fruit in you that you could never produce on your own. He's there. He's with you. He wants you to follow His leadership even today. Your body is His temple. By the way, young people and adults as well, that's why we ought not to desecrate the body. I read an Associated Press article this past week that in Orange, California, there was a Christian tattoo festival. Now, I've heard of Christian rock. I've heard of all kinds of Christian nightclubs, neither of which do I approve of. Now I hear of Christian tattoo. Next, we're going to have Christian immorality. Where's it going, folks? You may not understand sometimes why a preacher preaches against something right here, because sometimes we sense it's going all the way. That's why. Christian tattoo festival. Here's this Christian tattoo festival in Orange County, and one of the shop owners has a shop called the Red Dragon Tattoo Festival. Well, that's a wonderful name for a Christian business. The red dragon in the Bible does not represent good things. And he says, and I quote, "We just want people to know that good Christians can have tattoos. David Wells has 20 images of Jesus on his body." Folks, he has spent $20,000 to put those images on his body. First of all, the Bible says we're not to make graven images. Secondly, I think that's poor stewardship of God's money that He gave to him. And thirdly, ladies and gentlemen, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we see in our country people branding their bodies, burning their bodies, marking their bodies, piercing their bodies, like we did 20 years ago in National Geographic magazine, in societies that were given over to witchcraft and idolatry, now we see it in America, it is a sign, ladies and gentlemen, of the fact that we are not seeing the Holy Spirit change lives, but we are literally in need of revival in this hour. I'm saying that no Christian gets all excited about desecrating the temple. Why? It's not your body to desecrate. It's the Lord's body. And by the way, God don't make no junk. Say, what do you mean by that? I mean, God made you the way you are. You don't need to try to rearrange it. Thank God that He created you in His image. And so the Spirit of God is a gift given to you. God's Holy Spirit was promised by Christ and is received at salvation. May I say, thirdly, the Holy Spirit is the seal of your salvation. The seal of your salvation. Now turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1 for a moment. Come back to Galatians 5 and turn just to the left, maybe one page, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12. By now we've understood that the Holy Spirit comes into the life of every believer and that your body is His temple. You're not your own. God's Holy Spirit lives in you and He wants to produce fruit. But let's notice a third thing. The Holy Spirit is the seal of our salvation. Now let's read Ephesians 1 verses 12 and 13 together, okay? Ready? Begin. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Now let's follow the sequence. The Bible's a very logical and sequential book. And here we see that first they heard the word of truth. The Bible tells us they heard the word of truth. And it says in the first part of verse 13 that they trusted in Jesus Christ. So when a man hears the word of God, he can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And after he trusted in Christ, notice verse 13, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So let's follow the sequence. One more time, verse 12, who first trusted in Christ. How does someone know for sure their sins are forgiven and that they're on their way to heaven? By simply believing that Jesus Christ died and rose again for their sin. They trusted in Jesus Christ. My friend, the Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. U.S. News and World Report recently quoted Pope John Paul speaking at the Vatican saying, and I quote, "The Roman Catholic Church is the only instrument of salvation for all humanity." Think of that. The Roman Catholic Church is the only instrument of salvation for all humanity. Now, my friend, this morning, the Bible does not say in verse 12, who first trusted in the Roman Catholic Church. It does not say who first trusted in the Baptist Church. It says who first trusted in Christ. The only way to be saved, to know that your sins are forgiven, is to trust in Jesus Christ. Someone says that every time I come here, you're just putting down another religion. No, no, I'm just lifting up Christ. And you see, the fact of the matter is that He is the way, the truth, and the life. So first, someone accepts Christ. Now watch this. When someone asks Jesus into their heart and life, at that very moment, the Spirit of God is bringing that change about. And when someone trusts Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God seals that decision. So that no way, not at any time, can that person ever lose the wonderful presence of God in their life. Now that's what it means in verse 13. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now when I lived in Korea there with our family as we were missionaries in Korea years ago, I noticed something different about the way they took care of business transactions. Sometimes the missionaries would buy a car or a piece of property, or they would lease a building to start a church. And in the Orient, you did not take out a pen and sign your signature to it. In the Orient, the people doing business would get what they call, I believe in the Korean language, a dojang, or a seal. And it was a carving sometimes with Chinese characters on the bottom. And they would dip it into red ink. And then they would seal their business transaction with their official seal. In ancient Oriental culture, many times, the king or the monarch would have a signet in his ring. And that signet would be dipped into wax. And then it would be pressed onto a document. Or they would pour some wax onto a document right over the fold area. And then he would put his seal into that document, which meant it's not to be opened by anyone except the one who put his seal on it. Now, in this verse, what God is simply saying is that when you accept Jesus as your Savior, not a monarch, not a king, not a businessman, but God the Holy Spirit seals your soul and spirit so that you belong to God and no one can pluck you out of the hand of God. And verse 14 says you are sealed until the day of redemption. And that means the day when you see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Someone says, I presume by this that you believe in once saved, always saved. That's exactly what we believe in. We believe that God is able to keep us to the uttermost. And we thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit who comes into our life when we are saved and who seals us as belonging unto God. Now, if you do not know that you are saved, if you do not realize the Spirit of God is living in you, then what I'm going to preach on for the next 10 or so weeks is not going to make much sense to you simply because of the fact that you do not know the Holy Spirit. So how can He flow through your life as a stream? How can He produce fruit from that stream unless you know that you are saved, unless you know that the Holy Spirit is in your life? You must first receive the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice secondly, though, this morning, after someone receives that gift, there must be growth in the Holy Spirit. There must be growth in the Holy Spirit. There is a seed that is sown at salvation that God wants to grow. He wants it watered. He wants it fertilized. He wants you to grow. Now, I say this with all due respect. There are many people in this room who have been born, but as I said last week, some of you are still in the nursery spiritually. Some of you are still in kindergarten spiritually. And during this season of time, you ought to say, Lord, help me to grow in your spirit. Help me to get out of the first grade and become a second grader now. Help me to become a third grader now. I want to grow. Now, growth in the spirit is so vital. It is vital, first of all, if you will avoid fleshly living. You see, someone that gets saved but never grows, never reads the Bible, never walks in the spirit, never becomes faithful, that person, their life is hardly distinguishable from someone that isn't saved.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and teaching a series on today's edition of Daily in the Word entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and today's broadcast has prompted you to consider that decision, we would invite you right now in the privacy of your own heart to make a simple faith decision to believe and receive, to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your only Savior once and for all. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, you could bow your head and heart right now and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. We would love to talk with you more about that and help you understand what it means to make that wonderful decision. I hope you'll call us. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. Don't forget, we invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Online, you can see recent broadcasts and listen to the broadcast. You can also find out more about subscribing to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download this program free of charge to your computer, your iPhone, your iPod, or some other device, and take it with you and listen to it at your leisure on your own time. You can also refer this program to a friend. Perhaps you know somebody that lives in an area where this program is not aired. Anybody can go to dailyintheword.org and subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You'll find lots of other links there about Dr. Chapel and his ministry. The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional can come every day free of charge to your email inbox and remind you to walk with God and get through His Word in a year. You'll find links to the online bookstore and Pastor Chapel's newest book entitled Stewarding Life. This beautiful hardback book will help you understand how to take the one lifetime that you've been given with limited resources and adjust them and live them out according to eternal priorities. Once again, the new book, Stewarding Life by Dr. Paul Chapel. You'll find all of this and more at dailyintheword.org. Also, if we can help you, please call us toll free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.